Good evening. This is the Wednesday night Bible study for April the 22nd. And we are still in our study of the Gospel of Matthew. So before we start, let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this time together in your word. I pray you bless it. I pray you speak to us, Holy Spirit. Remind us of some things, teach us some things. And I pray, Father, that if there's anybody listening that doesn't know Christ, they would recognize during this time that they're a sinner and they need a Savior, and Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to you but by him. And so, again, speak to their hearts, Holy Spirit, if they need Christ as their Savior. Just bless our time that we spend in your word. Ask this in Christ's name. Amen. As we've talked about before, and I'll just do a brief review, the Gospel of Matthew was written to the Jews, and it presents Jesus as the King of the Jews. And in making that point, Matthew quotes more Old Testament prophecy than any of the other Gospels. In this session, we're in chapter 7. It's part of the Sermon on the Mount, a sermon that Jesus preached on a mountain. Therefore, it's called the Sermon on the Mount. And it was preached to his disciples, those that had decided to follow him. And so there's no gospel in the Gospel of Matthew. There's no gospel in the Sermon on the Mount. Again, because he was preaching to his disciples, people that were saved already. When we started Matthew chapter 5, and the Sermon on the Mount is in three chapters in Matthew, chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7, I outlined the Sermon on the Mount into four parts. The first part was in Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 16, and it talked about the relationship of the subjects of the kingdom. Again, Jesus' disciples, those were part of his kingdom, to themselves. And so we talked about what Jesus wanted his disciples to be on the inside. And so we looked at the Beatitudes. Again, the attitudes that Jesus wanted his followers to have in their heart, on their inside. The second part was in the last part of Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 48, relationship of the subjects of the kingdoms to the law. And we mentioned that Jesus didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And he actually raised the bar. Moses' law said, don't kill. And Jesus said, don't hate. Moses' law said, don't commit adultery. And Jesus said, don't lust. And so he took the law and raised the bar and raised it to a whole new level. The third part was in Matthew chapter 6, the relationship of the subjects of the kingdom to God. And so we talked about giving of alms, helping the poor. We talked about prayer. We talked about fasting. We were reminded from that part of the sermon that those things are between us and God, and they needed to be done in private. And then that chapter ends up by talking about money and worry. We just need to know that God knows what we need and that he will provide what we need, that we need to lay up our treasures in heaven, and there's nothing that we should worry about because we have a Father that will take care of us. And then the last part of the sermon is in Matthew chapter 7. We won't finish tonight. We'll get about halfway through of Matthew chapter 7. But it talks about the relationship of the subjects of the kingdom to others. So we start in Matthew chapter 7 and look at verses 1 and 2. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. That word judge can mean decide, distinguish, condemn, avenge. And even though it says judge not, Jesus is not saying that there's nothing we should judge. We can judge what we can see. We can judge the wrong and evil actions that we can see others doing and that are happening in the world. What we can't judge is the inward motives of others. So we don't know why a person does what they do. We don't know or understand their motivation. And so what Jesus is saying, you don't judge the inward motives of others in the sense of condemning them for their motives. If we try to judge their motives and we do it harshly, we're likely to become a person that never has a good word to say about anybody and become a person that people don't pay attention to. And that's what Jesus was saying in these verses. You don't know what's going on in the life of somebody else. Yes, you can judge their actions and say, hey, that's an evil action or that's a wrong action, but you can't judge their motivations. You can't condemn them for why they're doing something. In verse 3, it says, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? So he's talking about a little piece of a little splinter in our brother's eye, but there's a big mote or a big log in our own eye. And that log represents the spirit of criticism and prejudice. With that blocking our vision, we're in no position to judge somebody else. And so that's what Jesus is saying. Yeah, you can judge what you can see, the acts that are going on, but you cannot judge the internal motivation of somebody. Look at verses 4 and 5. Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Again, Jesus is warning us about harsh judgment. It's something that we need to be very wary of. And Jesus makes it clear that we're not to set in harsh judgment of somebody else because we cannot see their motives. But Jesus also said, by their fruit, you would know them. So we're not judges, but we can be fruit inspectors. We can tell if a Christian is producing fruit or not in their life. That's what we can judge, what we can see. We shouldn't try to judge what we can't see, because we'll usually end up being a harsh critic. And Jesus said, that's not how I want my children to relate to others. That's not how I want my disciples to relate to others. Now, look at verse 6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. So we have to determine who the dogs and the pigs are, the swine are, in this verse. And again, Jesus is not talking about the four-legged animals. He says, there are dogs and there are swine, and we're not to give that which is holy to dogs and cast our pearls before swine. We need to make judgment, okay? We need to make judgment as to who those people are. And what he's saying is there are certain times and places where it's better just not to say anything. And this is the judgment we need to make. There are dogs and there are swines in our world today. We need to judge who they are. And we need to be careful because they're dangerous. The last part of that verse says they'll rend us, they'll tear us, they'll destroy us. And so there are times when Jesus said, hey, don't talk about that which is holy. Don't talk about what's what important. That's what he's saying there when he says your pearls before swine, because they won't be important. They won't be holy to those people. They'll just trample them under your feet. And in so doing, they'll destroy you. So in one verse, Jesus says, don't judge. But in another verse, he says, hey, you need to judge so you can determine who the dogs and the swine are. So what do we do? Well, he tells us in the next two verses what we need to do. Verse 7. Ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Every day we rub shoulders with people in this world. And one of the greatest challenges a Christian has is how we meet and how we treat those people that we encounter. Every day, we'll rub shoulders with princes and paupers and gentlemen and scoundrels and true and false prophets, godly and ungodly people. Some of those people, we need to they need our friendship and they need our help, and we need them. And we ought to pull them close to ourselves and form a bond of friendship with them. But there are others that are rascals who will destroy us if we get close to them. And so we need to push them away. Well, how do we do that? Well, Jesus tells us, ask, seek, and knock. He says, hey, if you'll ask me, I will give you the discernment to know who the dogs and the swine are and to stay away from those people. And I'll give you the discernment to know who those people are that you can welcome into your life, because you can be a help to them and they'll be a help to you. Now, again, these verses can be used in other contexts. I mean, they're verses on prayer. And again, they make the promise, if we ask, if we seek, if we knock, that the Lord will answer. But in the context, they're talking about how we need to relate to others. And again, that in answer to prayer, God will give us the discernment about who to welcome into our life and who to avoid, because they'll destroy us. Peter had this kind of discernment in the book of Acts when he was dealing with Ananias and Sapphira. He knew that they were lying. How did he know? He knew because the Holy Spirit gave him that discernment. And so we need that same spiritual discernment concerning others, and God will give it to us if we ask. Now, again, he reinforces that in verses 9, 10, and 11. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? And again, a verse on prayer, a verse that says, hey, we know how to give good gifts to our children when they ask. God, as our Father, is much more, is higher than ours. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. And so he knows how to give good things to his children. But again, in the context of this chapter, he's talking about the discernment that we need as we meet people and how God will give us that discernment if we ask. Now, verse 12, known as the golden rule. It says, therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. So again, when we meet someone new, how are we going to treat them? Are we going to welcome them into our life, or are we going to push them away? The Lord said not to judge, but he also says if a person is a dog or a swine, we better know it and we better beware. So what do? Again, we make it a matter of prayer. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye so to them. This is a principle on which we should operate. And the most important word in the golden rule is the word therefore, the first word. And it relates the golden rule to that which comes before. And so the golden rule depends on prayer. The golden rule depends on discernment. It's one package. As we ask, seek, and knock, God will give us the ability and the discernment that we need to live in this world, to relate to other people, and to practice the golden rule as he wants us to practice it. Again, based on prayer, based on the discernment that will come in answer to prayer. All right, now look at verses 13 and 14, and these will be the last verses we cover tonight. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So these two verses talk about two gates and two ways. And these verses, they don't set up a choice between a Broadway with lots of fun and lots of people and a narrow, dark, uninviting alley. Actually, if you think about these verses, as you think about these verses, think about a funnel, okay? If you enter the funnel at the big end and travel down that funnel, it keeps getting narrower and narrower until you come to death, destruction, and hell. But if you enter at the little end of the funnel, and that's where Christ is, he's the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by him. And he said in John 10:10, I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. And so you enter in at the smaller end of the funnel, and as you walk along, the funnel gets broader and wider and better as you walk along. And that's what Jesus is saying. Hey, if you enter in at the big end, yeah, you're going to have, maybe you'll have fun for a while, but it keeps getting narrower and narrower and narrower, and it leads to death and destruction. But if you come in at the small end, where Christ is the opening, is the gate, then your walk with him gets better and better and better. Remember the prophecy in Ezekiel chapter 47? It talked about a river that flowed from the throne of God out the temple door. And Ezekiel and an angel followed that river. And, you know, when he first went into it, it was up to his ankles and it was up to his thighs. And then the further he got out, it became a deep river, a river deep enough to swim in, a river that was over his head. And that pictures, that river pictures, and these verses here in Matthew about the wide and narrow gates and the broad and narrow way, paints a picture of the life that a lost person has as they travel the broad way that leads to destruction and death. And then they picture the life that a Christian has as they enter the narrow gate of Christ, and then walk down that road whose life it gets better and better every single day. Well, that's the same picture that river in Ezekiel paints. It starts out as a little stream, ankle deep, but by the time they get out a few thousand furlows or meters or yards, whatever they talk about there, it's a river that's deep. And that's the picture of the life that we can have in Christ. The longer we walk with him, the better it gets day by day. You know, we sing that little chorus, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I love him more and more. Jesus saves and keeps me, and he's the one I'm living for. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. That's why I urge you, if you're listening to this and you've never entered into that narrow gate, that narrow gate is Christ. There's only one gate that you can come through to get eternal life. Jesus said, I'm that gate. I'm that door. I'm that way. And that's how you get to the Father. That's how you get the abundant life that I've come to offer. And again, if you're listening and you've never received Christ as your Savior, I can't think of a better time to do it than now. The Bible says today, now is the accepted time. Today's the day of salvation. Every one of us are sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. It's separation from God. I mean, walking that life without Christ, it does get narrow and narrow and narrow, and only leads to one destination. It leads to death and to hell. But Jesus, again, is that narrow gate from which we can enter and become one of God's children. And again, we just have to admit that we're a sinner, believe that Jesus is God's son and that he went to the cross to die for our sins, and then just ask him to save us. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And once you enter into that kind of life, it gets better and better and better, sweeter and sweeter and sweeter every day. If you haven't made that decision, ask Jesus to be your Savior. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for what it teaches us. And again, I pray for those that might be listening that never have received Christ. Help them to make that decision right now. And then, Father, I pray for the many Christians. Help us to know that we need the discernment that comes from the Holy Spirit in answer to prayer to know how to live with others in this world. I ask you to continue to bless our church, bless every member and person that's associated with us. Help us to honor you in all we do. Thank you for loving us and for sending Jesus to die for us. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. All right. Hopefully you're still here. You haven't turned me off after the prayer, but I do want to make a special announcement. I've asked Brother Harry to do prayer meeting again next week. And so he'll be presenting the Bible study. I know I got a lot of comments from the last time he did it, how much you enjoyed it. And so during this time when we can't come to church, it's a wonderful opportunity for Brother Harry to share with us from the Word of God. And so he'll be doing that again next Wednesday. Hope you'll tune in and be blessed by it. Thank you.